This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome to the Mother Wound Project podcast. I'm your host, Tandy, and today's episode is very important because I believe it's going to help so many women start to understand why they feel so frustrated, misunderstood, and why they feel like they're banging their head against the wall every time they talk to their mom. Or every time they try to have a real conversation with their mom. And the question that I want you to think about is, does every conversation with your mom somehow end up being about her? And as you think about that question and reflect on that, I also want you to realize that's not normal. It's the biggest sign of emotional immaturity. And that's what I want to talk about today. And I think what you're going to realize with this podcast is this will give you a lot of clarity and a lot of validation when you feel like, is something wrong with me? You're feeling really confused. You feel like the conversations are difficult. You're not sure exactly what the issue is. This is going to give you a lot of clarity around why it's such a struggle. So I want to review what we're going to be talking about in this episode so you kind of have an idea of how this is going to look. First of all, we're going to talk about what it looks like when a mother makes everything about herself. And this can be really eye-opening for a lot of women, like, oh my gosh, I never realized. But you're going to hear certain words. Sorry, my phone sound is on. You're going to hear certain words or certain phrases that your mom may use and realize, oh my gosh, my mom totally does that. So it's going to be a lot of validation in that one. And then I want to look at why this happens, the psychological roots, just so you understand. This is not an excuse for this behavior, but it does help you understand where it's coming from, and it can help you make decisions about how you want to handle your relationship with your mom, how you want to handle conversations and all of that. So it just gives you a greater understanding to understand why that is happening from a psychological perspective. And then I want to talk about the impact that it has on a daughter of a mother who is emotionally immature. And this also is going to give you a lot of validation for a lot of ways that you're feeling and you're not exactly sure why or where it's coming from. So I want you to stay to the end because then we're going to discuss the practical tools to help protect your peace and to help navigate this entire situation with an emotionally immature mom that makes everything about her. And there are ways that you can, if you desire to, maintain a relationship with an emotionally immature mom without feeling like you're going crazy. And that's what we want to talk about, because if we can maintain somewhat of a relationship and we want that and desire that, that's a great thing. And so I want to give you tools to help protect yourself and your own sanity in all of this. So let's start talking about what it looks like when a mother makes everything about herself. One of the clearest signs, as I said, is no matter what you say, she will find a way to turn the spotlight back on herself. And a lot of us don't even recognize this specifically, but it happens in a lot of different ways. Some of them are more subtle, which can make it more confusing. Some are more blatant, but they are all invalidating. And it can make you not feel seen or heard or cared about or understood. And in reality, you aren't seen, you aren't heard, and you are not understood because She doesn't have the capacity to do that. And you need to understand that. That is a core key thing that you need to understand, is that an emotionally immature mom can't see you. She can't understand you. She does not have the maturity and the ability to do so. And when you stop expecting that, it makes things a lot easier just in understanding that. So I want to give you some everyday examples of what this would look like. And this might give you a little bit of validation of what your experience has been. So let's say that you come and you share some good news with your mom. So you got a promotion at work. I've actually seen mothers, when a daughter announces that she's pregnant, I've seen them try to one-up that. Ugh. That's a lot more rare. But so you get a promotion at work. Let's say you ran a 5K and you won a medal. You know, you took third place in your age group or first place in your age group or something like that. Any kind of good news, accomplishment, anything like that. So an emotionally immature mom, depending on where she falls in this spectrum, she may try to one-up you. Well, when I was your age, I ran 10Ks and won first place and not second. You might get something like that. So she's trying to outshine you. You may also get her belittling your accomplishment. A 5K, who cares? You only got a first place in your age group. Like, that's not even an accomplishment. Something to that effect, okay? Or she may dismiss it altogether. So let me give you an example of how my mother will dismiss me. So I was not able to share about, me and my husband did a vow renewal. It was a couple of years ago. It was a beautiful experience in a glass chapel. It was, you know, we flew out there. It was this whole vacation. It was just a beautiful thing. And that's a whole other story for another day. It was something I couldn't share with my mom because of her religious beliefs. And so I did get a new ring. It's this beautiful rose gold ring. It has all this filigree work on it. It was just beautiful. And I was excited. My mom loves jewelry. So I thought, oh, I could probably connect with my mom on that level because she loves jewelry. So I go and I show my ring to my mother. She was sitting down. We had just come back from the trip, and I showed this ring to her, and I kid you not, she goes, oh, what is that? Ooh, what is it? What is it? This is literally what she does. Like, as if I was showing her a spider. And I just remember, like, mom, it's a ring. I got a new wedding ring. Oh. And no, says nothing. Okay, this is also another, of course, your mom may not act like she's seen a spider. But this idea of like acting confused, like I don't know what you're saying or I don't know what you're showing me because I don't want to validate this. She may have been jealous. Sometimes they will compete with you. Sometimes they're jealous. Whatever the reasoning is, she will find a way to act confused or whatever, or dismiss the situation and then move on to something else. And then the subject got changed and my mom said nothing about my ring. It was a really odd, strange, bizarre situation because my mom had never acted this way before. She's very dismissive, don't get me wrong, but this was just like next level. Like, I was so confused. So that can also happen when you're trying to share some good news with your mom and she finds a way to make it about her or dismiss you or whatever. She may say something like, oh, that's nice, you got promoted. But I remember when I worked full time and raised kids at the same time. Now that was actual hard work. So she's belittling, like, you know, making it about her, right?
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Or worse, that's not really a big deal. Your cousin just got a much better job. So they may not say that's not really a big deal, but she's going to say something to belittle whatever it was that you just said and say your cousin did this way more amazing thing. Okay, those are the types of things that you're going to get. Or you may share a struggle, something you're going through that's been difficult. And instead of offering empathy, she's going to center it on her own suffering. And my mom does this all the time. So when I talked about having surgery when I was pregnant, okay, my mom will then tell me how depressed she was during that time and start making it about her. Very common. So your mom will say, oh, I've been feeling so anxious lately. And then all of a sudden the conversation goes about her anxiety and what's been going on in her life. And the fact that you just shared something that was difficult for you gets completely lost in the situation. This is very common with an emotionally immature mom. Or she may say, oh, you think you're anxious. You should see everything I've been through. And then she starts talking about how her anxiety is worse than yours. So she may one-up you when something good happens, or try to one-up you that her anxiety is worse, or her life is harder than yours, or she's had it harder than you. Again, it's centering on herself. She's making it about her. She is not hearing what you're saying. She's not offering empathy. She doesn't even really care, right? Or you set a boundary. And this may not even be like a major thing. It may just be that you're not going to come to a family event because you have something else planned, or for whatever reason you can't come. And she's going to twist this into a rejection of her or an attack on her. So she may use guilt or say, you know, you have your husband's family or whatever has something going on at that same time. And it's, you know, your mom was just having a Sunday dinner and your partner's family, it's like a 50th wedding anniversary or some big celebration that you're going to go to. You're like, I'm sorry, we can't come. We have this, you know, big celebration. And she starts guilt tripping you of you're prioritizing someone other than her. And I guess I'm just not that important to you, or that kind of a thing. Again, it's centered on her. She's not actually caring about you or what is best for you or this big celebration that's going on. It's all about her, right? So that's kind of what you're going to see in interacting with an emotionally immature mom. It doesn't matter what you bring up. It's always going to flip back around to her. Her success, her pain, she's not important enough. You're not prioritizing her enough, okay? You may even bring up a medical need. Say, you know, oh, I'm really nervous about this same day surgery that I'm having next week. Well, when I had surgery, I didn't complain and no one helped me and I had it so much worse than you. And then the story goes on. And I know that these are not really the way that someone would actually phrase things, but I'm just kind of giving you an idea of she is saying, I didn't complain about it. I wasn't afraid of it. No one helped me. I did it on my own. She's going to make it, you know, her situation worse than yours. So she looks more, you know, I'm stronger than you. I did it better than you. Okay. In everyday outings. So let's say you're going to go to lunch with your mom and you suggest, you're like, oh my gosh, my favorite restaurant is just down the street. I would love to go there. And she ignores your request and insists on going where she wants to go every single time. And this isn't just a one-time thing. This is like every single time where your preferences don't register. This happens to me all the time. For my birthday lunches, there were times where I would say, Mom, we would go to the same place because my mom loved the Tulip Festival and she loved this restaurant. And so she would always take me to this place. And I mean, I liked it. It was fine. But there was a time like, can we please go somewhere else? But it's the Tulip Festival and it's so great and we love it and it's a tradition. And I'm like, this is my birthday and I still don't get to pick where I go for my lunch for my own birthday because my mom loves to go to this other place. You're going to find stuff like this as well. Or my mom doesn't remember that I don't like acai bowls. So I could be at her house and say, hey, let's go get acai bowls. Mom, do you remember? I don't like them. Oh, no, they're so good. And then she tries to convince me to like them. But I just don't like them. And then I'll come a month later. Hey, let's go get acai bowls. Mom, I don't like them. So do you see how this is part of where you just feel like you're banging your head against the wall? You're never being heard. She doesn't remember what you like. Your preferences don't even register to her because, again, she doesn't see it. And in maybe an emotionally immature mom or a covert narcissist mom, it just doesn't even register to them. An overt narcissist, it may be a little bit more intentional. It just depends on where they are on this whole spectrum. Celebrations. So it's your birthday, but she's telling stories about herself or making passive-aggressive remarks about how much she sacrificed to give you life or that kind of thing. So again, the birthday has to be about her. She'll make this massive celebration and then she'll brag about how well she decorated for your birthday or something that she did. Look at this amazing thing that I... So again, she's trying to get the spotlight, even though it's your birthday. You may see some of similarities. You may not have experienced all of these things. It may be slightly different, but hopefully this is kind of starting to, you know, get your brain thinking of like, is this the experience that you've been having or feel validated in it? So again, sharing opinions or interests. So maybe you would say, I really love this kind of music. And your mom will come back with today's music isn't anything like the oldies. The oldies are so much better, whatever. And in a random situation, this doesn't mean anything. So I'm not saying, you know, something like this happening once in a while is not the thing. It's that this is a chronic thing. So every time you offer an, I love this music, I love this restaurant, I love Indian food, I love something, right? Something that you like. I love Chinese food. That your mom is going to be dismissive. She's going to, that's not good. What I like is better. That her preferences or opinions are going to trump yours every time. This is a pattern, okay? It's not just a one-off thing. So what you'll notice with an emotionally immature mom is every interaction becomes a stage where she's the star and you get pushed into the role of background character. Instead of feeling seen, you feel erased. Instead of being supported, you're left carrying the weight of her ego. You're left standing in the background of the spotlight that is shining on her. And this can get, it can be really difficult for a relationship where you're just never seen, you're never understood, you're never valued. When you have a favorite restaurant and you're driving past it and she's going to pass the one that you like so that she can get to what she likes. This chronic invalidation can be really difficult and it can lead to a lot of issues later on in life. So I'm going to tell you a few stories of what this will look like, because obviously my like role playing, you know, examples might not be exactly spot on how the conversation would play out in real life. So I just want to give you a couple examples and maybe this will even give you a little bit more validation and understanding of what it looks like when a mom makes everything about herself. So the number one story, I call it the hijacked vacation. And these are stories of my clients or myself or people that I know, I'm not really going to say. But this first one, one of my clients went to California and they went to see the Redwoods and it was like a long trip through California, driving through the Redwoods up into Oregon and then back down to Mount Shasta. And her mother calls. And her mom, when she calls, is like, I want to hear all about your vacation. All sounds normal, right? But my client barely gets three sentences out describing the Redwoods and how amazing it was. And her mom cuts her off and was like, oh, I went to the Redwoods in 2004. Immediately, her mom launches into a 15 to 20 minute monologue about her trip. She talks about the drive-through tree, the sights she sees, how fun her trip was, all of this. By the time her mother was finished, there was no space for my client to share her own experience. This is a textbook example of how an emotionally immature mother doesn't actually care to hear about your life. You'll get a few sentences in and she'll change the subject. She'll make about her. She'll start talking to someone else in the room. She'll be watching the TV show instead of listening. Whatever it is, she's not really invested in you. I want to make this very clear about this story. Even if it were that she didn't flip it and just tell her own monologue of her own story for 20 minutes, they will also make it about themselves just in the sense of like, I don't really care about your vacation or where you went, so I'm just going to sit and watch this TV show while you're talking, and they don't really react, respond, or listen. That is also dismissing you and making it about them, because it's like, well, I don't really care about you, so I'm going to do what I want and not really listen. That's the same thing, okay? I want you to understand that. This is a textbook example of how an emotionally immature mother will react. Is just, she's going to make the story about her, tell her story, and then, oh, I got to go. And you get off the phone and you're like, well, okay. Like, you're super confused, right? Next one. Story number two. Another client of mine was extremely sick during her pregnancies. And she was struggling with months. In fact, her entire pregnancy, she struggled with severe unexplained symptoms and relentless 24/7 nausea. But it was more than just like nausea and vomiting. It was extreme stomach pain, pressure, like a lot of other things that she really struggled functioning in her pregnancies. And instead of compassion, her mother would minimize it and even mock her suffering. Her mother would say, well, I was sick too. I threw up every morning and I still cleaned the house. I still ran errands. I still got stuff done. And so what she's doing is belittling her daughter's illness and how her daughter feels and then saying, I handled it so much better than you. This is classic, classic situation. Then she would go further to say, I must have spoiled you too much as a child. You're too much of a baby to handle normal pregnancy symptoms. Okay, this is getting into the cruel territory. This isn't just dismissing and making herself better than her daughter by saying, I handled pregnancy better than you. But now she's saying you're spoiled and you're too much of a baby to handle a normal pregnancy. So this is where, you know, it doesn't even have to go into the cruel comments in order to be dismissive or, you know, fall in that line of emotional immaturity. But this combination a lot of women suffer with, this self-aggrandizing of her own strength. And instead of empathy, she's turning this into a competition where she wins. I did it better than you. You're just a baby. Okay. A lot of you may have experienced this. This is abusive. This is dismissive. This is not okay. So let's go into story number three. Boundaries twisted into betrayal. So this is my own experience. When I began to reduce contact with my mom, I started to just not really share a lot with her because of these reasons that I've been telling you. I was experiencing things just like this. So I kept our conversations really superficial. I didn't say a whole lot. I didn't tell her about what I was doing. There's a lot of things that she just doesn't know. She started noticing, of course, and she twists it. And she starts playing the victim. And she tells my sister, literally, this comment. And I know I've said this in other podcasts, but I'm going to say it again. She said, Tandy's putting me in timeout because she has this idea in her head that I'm a bad mom. So again, she's the victim. So I just have this crazy idea in my mind. And I'm putting her in timeout. Like, acting like she's this punished child. Right? She didn't do anything wrong, clearly. This is all my problem. I'm the bad person. This is classic. Classic, classic emotional immaturity right here. Any attempt at boundaries gets reframed as an attack on her. Instead of respecting the space that I needed, instead of wondering why I didn't want to share so much with her about my life or things that were going on with me. Well, here's the thing. I told you about trying to show her a wedding ring. I wasn't even asking for empathy or anything. I'm just like, all she had to do was be like, oh my gosh, that's so pretty. That's all you have to do. But she couldn't even do that. And so it's like, why do I want to share my successes or my hurt or anything else? You can't even show up for me when I have surgery, when I'm 4 months pregnant. Like, really? You know what I mean? But they can't see it. All they can see is their own victimhood. And then she was trying to make me look unreasonable. And these are just a few examples. In everyday conversations with an emotionally immature mom, you may notice that she is going to interrupt you and start telling her own story. She's either going to interrupt and tell the story about how she went there, she ate that, she did that, or whatever. Or she's going to interrupt and redirect the story in a different direction so it's focused on her. Either way, she's going to interrupt in some way to bring it back onto the focus of her and what she wants to say and what she wants to tell you. She may zone out when you're talking and her responses don't match what you've said. I've had this a million times where I've been talking and I can tell that she's not saying, uh-huh, or, you know, you can tell that it's just not going anywhere. And I'll stop talking and she doesn't respond. She doesn't say anything. She doesn't even realize that I'm not talking anymore. There's also times where the response that she gives does not make any sense to what I had just said. So I can tell that she's not listening. She will also start talking to my dad when I'm like mid-sentence trying to tell her something. Again, she just acting as if you're not even there, like you don't matter. All of this is making it about her because you just don't matter. You know, what you're saying, I just don't care. I'm going to talk to someone else if I want to. I'm going to watch a show if I want to. I'm going to do what I want to do regardless because I just don't value you. She chronically shows no genuine interest in your life. This is not a one-off thing. This is a chronic not showing genuine interest in your life. And it can be very, very painful and confusing. It's not an occasional annoyance. So again, this has to be consistent, predictable pattern of emotional invalidation. And it's not just rude. It tells you over and over and over again that you don't matter. Your experience don't matter. The only thing that matters is her. And it causes long-term damage when this is how you live your life and this is how your mother treats you. So now that we kind of understand what this can look like, and I could go on and on for an hour about a million different examples, but hopefully that helps you understand what this can feel like and what it looks like. And now I want to talk a little bit about why is she doing this? What is the psychology behind this emotional immaturity? When your mother makes everything about herself, it's not just annoying. It's rooted in the psychology of emotional immaturity and narcissism. Now, I'm not trying to diagnose anyone here. That is never my intent. I just want to help you understand what you're experiencing and what may be going on. Number one, emotional immaturity will equal a lack of empathy and a fragile sense of self. Those two going together. So at the core, an emotionally immature or narcissistic mother lacks the ability to genuinely empathize. She can't see things from your point of view. She can't step outside of herself to see your perspective or even care about it. And it's because her own identity is fragile and it's built on very shaky ground. Likely, she may have experienced early childhood trauma or wounds that left her with chronic shame. And in order to protect herself from that shame, she built a fantasy ego. So there's the real, what I feel under the surface, and the fantasy ego that protects me from the shame I feel for not being perfect or not being good enough. So this fantasy ego is this, you know, I'm the perfect mom, I'm the perfect Christian, I'm the perfect religious woman, I'm selfless, it's this very perfect fantasy grand identity that she tries to portray to the world. But that false identity is fragile because let's be real, it's not real, it's fake, it's fantasy. But underneath that is that shame-based self that feels worthless, defective, or unlovable. This may have been because her parents were perfectionistic and really hard on her. It could have been trauma. We don't know. But it could have been any number of things in childhood. Bullies. It may not have even been her own parents. It could have been experiences at school. Who knows? But for her, any moment that challenges that fantasy ego, it's very fragile because it isn't real. But anything that challenges it, like you asking for support or sharing your struggles, feels like a threat, right? She's very self-focused. I've got to look amazing. And so when she does good things, it has to be for show. She cares. And if this goes into narcissism, it really is very self-centered. It depends on what you're dealing with. But she doesn't have the empathy to show up for you. Even in an emotionally immature mom who is not narcissistic, they really struggle with empathy. They really struggle seeing your side of things. They really even struggle just understanding you. And so they don't have empathy to show up for you in your time of need. Doesn't matter where they are on the spectrum. They just don't. That does not jive with her fantasy self. And so to avoid facing reality, she dismisses your needs and your pain. So it's like she doesn't have the empathy to show up. She doesn't have the ability to be like, oh, you just had surgery. Let me show up. Let me clean the house. Let me see what you need. Let me bring you some dinner. You know, let me take your kids. No. She doesn't have the empathy to be that kind of person. So she's not going to be inside what a really good person would be in that situation. But that creates a split there of like, but her fantasy ego is the perfect, most amazing, you know, whatever she is, mom, person, whatever. And so to avoid facing that reality that she really doesn't show up the way that you need, she dismisses your needs and your pain, belittles you, turns your needs into a burden, makes herself the victim of that burden. So now I don't have to feel guilty that I didn't show up for you because you're the problem. You're just making a big deal out of it. It wasn't that big of a deal anyway. I had surgery and nobody helped me. So why do you need help? I'm doing this to you so that I don't have to feel guilty that I'm not willing to show up for you. Does that start to make sense for you? Hopefully it does. This is a very twisted way to avoid showing up for you in any tangible way while still maintaining the perfect fantasy ego facade. And that's kind of what's going on there. It's not a perfect explanation, but hopefully it does help you understand. Why can't she self-reflect? So now, if you come up and you're like, Mom, you know, I was sick or something happened and you didn't show up for me, or you said this really rude thing to me or whatever it is, you bring something up, right? Well, she can't self-reflect because that requires her to be able to admit imperfection without collapsing in shame. And she can't do that. Because again, fantasy ego is perfect. I don't do stuff like that. I don't say things like that. I don't do things like that. I don't make mistakes. I'm perfect. So you must be the problem, right? I know you know what I'm talking about. You're sitting here like, yes, that's exactly what she does. Maybe not in those exact words, but it's, I'm perfect. I would never say that. I would never do that. You're the problem. Because for her, any imperfection means she's unlovable. It means rejection, abandonment, or even annihilation. Let that sink in. It is almost like death if this fantasy ego goes away, because the shame spiral she can't handle. So this is why you're never going to get an apology, and she's never going to be like, oh, I should not have done that. I'm so sorry. You're never going to get that. And this is why she brags and self-aggrandizes constantly, because it's to cover up that fragile self. And it's also why she will do benevolent things for other people when it's for show. So if it's a church thing and she'll sign up to take a meal to a woman that just had surgery, you know, in her church. Well, yeah, because everybody's going to see that she's doing that and be like, oh my gosh, she's so amazing. She takes meals to people and she does all these things. She only does it for show. It's not because she actually cares. She's also going to belittle you in a lot of ways, just like I was saying with my mom. Oh, when I was pregnant, I would just throw up in the morning and then I would go to the store and run my errands. That's a way of belittling you and making herself look better. She may not recognize it. You may not have even recognized that, but that's what that is. It might not be as overt as you think when she's belittling you. But when she's telling you she handled something better, that's exactly what she's doing. She's going to gaslight you or rewrite the story to protect her image. So that didn't happen. I never said that. I don't know why you're always trying to make me look bad. You're always making stuff up, right? This is gaslighting. She's rewriting the story. She did say that thing. She did do that thing. But her fragile ego can't handle that she does or says these things. And so she's going to deny it. And you're just making stuff up. And you're just trying to make her look bad. And then she becomes the victim of you and your made up stories. Okay? She will play the victim whenever she's confronted. So, and this is a brain bender when you deal with this. It took me forever to recognize, why on earth am I always apologizing to my mom? I bring up that she hurt my feelings or she didn't show up when I had surgery or this or that or the other. And the next thing I know, she's, I'm just the worst mom ever. You just disowned me as your mother then. And the next thing I know, I'm apologizing to her. And I'm like, wait a minute. This is why. She will always become the victim. And it gets real confusing because you can't figure out how she ends up doing it. But they are masters. They are masters at this. But to her, accountability isn't growth and repair of relationship. It, for most people, you know, if I said something to you that wasn't very nice and you came to me and you're like, you know what really hurt my feelings when you said that? If I'm emotionally mature, I'm gonna be like, oh my gosh, I am so sorry. I should not have said that to you. Even if it isn't like me, like even if I wouldn't normally say something like that to somebody, I can still acknowledge like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. That's terrible. You know, I should never have said that to you. That's accountability. It doesn't hurt me. It's fine. I can acknowledge I made a mistake. I said something rude. Like I'm really sorry about that. But to them, it's not just growth. It's not just repairing and apologizing. It literally means the death of the fantasy ego. I'm not perfect anymore. If I apologize to you and say, I really did say something bad, it is like a death. So you will find that the defense that they have of this fantasy ego will blow your mind. They will destroy a relationship with their own child in order to preserve the fantasy ego. So this is not, you are not going to win this game, so don't even play it. There is no point in bringing up how they hurt you or anything that happened in the past, because you're always going to end up apologizing. They're always going to end up the victim. You're just going to be spinning in narcissistic whirlpool and you're going to drown every time. It's just not worth it. So number three, narcissistic tendencies. So the center of attention equals survival for them. I need to be the center of attention. So her sense of self-worth is built on being the center of attention. And that's why when you tell her about a success you've had, you won a race, you got a promotion, you got a raise, you graduated from college, whatever that may have been, she's going to try to outshine it or dismiss it. That's generally the two ways that this is going to go. Belittle it or outshine it. When you're struggling or suffering, even had a surgery or a major event, she's going to make it about her own suffering or she's going to belittle your suffering. So I had surgery and I did it by myself and nobody showed up for me, or why are you making this such a big deal? You should be up on your feet again by now, that kind of thing. Okay. You're just being a big baby about it. When you set a boundary, like I said, it's a rejection. It's an attack on her. And this really isn't about you. It's about her needing the spotlight to survive emotionally. Because again, when she's in the spotlight, this is stroking the fantasy ego. This is strengthening the fantasy ego. So, you know, if I handled pregnancy better than you, if I handled surgery better than you, if my promotion was bigger than you, if my raise was bigger than yours, whatever that might be, or, you know, if you are getting an award and your mom shows up and she makes a big to-do about herself trying to outshine this event that you are at to award you something, and she's trying to be in the spotlight, she's getting, you know, oh, her ego is getting bigger and stronger. And it's validating this false ego of like, yeah, I'm way better than everybody else. I'm so amazing. I'm so great. I have all this attention. That's more of what it's about. And that's not a perfect explanation, like I said, but hopefully it helps you understand anyway some of why this is going on. And there's also projection and enmeshment. And in a lot of ways, she can't separate her needs from yours. So, and she may project her identity onto you. So, and I've seen this with my own mom. She may try to live through you and then take credit for your accomplishments or brag about you to her friends to, in a way, get attention for the accomplishments that you've made. So like, you know, if your mother thinks like being a cheerleader is the be-all end-all thing to be in high school and you're a cheerleader, she's going to go around bragging, my daughter's the cheerleader, because she thinks that everyone's going to think highly of her because her daughter's a cheerleader, if that makes sense. So again, she's making it about her, not about you. It's not about like, oh my gosh, you're so amazing. Look at you. You're great at what you're doing. It isn't going to be about, you're the most amazing cheerleader. Look at you doing this. You're so amazing. You did such a great job. She's not praising you. She's using the fact that you're a cheerleader to make her look good. Do you see how that works? And it may not be a cheerleader thing. That's just an example. It could be all kinds of stuff. She may also demand that your choices, so your marriage or your partner, your career, your religion, your parenting style, whatever it might be, reflect positively on her. And she's going to take it really, really hard if you make choices that she thinks do not reflect positively on her. So if she has, let's say, for example, she has really deeply held religious beliefs and you're living with your partner and you're not married. Deeply religious mom, that does not reflect positively on her. So you're going to get attacked. There's going to be a lot going on there. because she thinks that that looks bad for her. She doesn't want anybody knowing that you're doing this. This is bad, whatever. Or, you know, if she wanted you to have some big career so that she could brag about this and take credit or whatever, make her look good, and you want to go in to become a special education teacher and that is just your passion and you just love these kids and whatever, and your mom is like, well, that doesn't make me look good. I wanted you to be a lawyer, or I wanted you to be a rocket scientist or something. Then she's going to belittle this career choice because it doesn't reflect positively on her. It's not something she feels like she can brag about. And I am not telling you that there's anything wrong with either of these. My daughter is a severe special education teacher and she is amazing at it. She does a phenomenal, just beautiful job with these kids. And I am as proud of her as I could possibly be. It's not about money. It's not about, you know, what appears to be the most successful. It isn't about that. But if I were a narcissistic mom and my daughter's not out there making millions of dollars, I'm gonna have a problem with that. You see? You're also usually with a narcissistic mother, your independence will feel like rejection. So she's gonna pull the focus back to herself to soothe her insecurity. So this is generally not the most common, but when you start exerting independence, sometimes a narcissistic mother will offer money. Like, let's say you're struggling to pay the bills or you lost your job. She'll offer to help you out, and then she'll use that as leverage to get you to make decisions. Well, you need to stop living with your boyfriend, and then I'll give you the money that you need. See, she's trying to control your choice. I don't like the choice you're making, so I'm going to use this money that you need as leverage to control you. That type of thing, if that's an issue that she has, right? So the next one is the survival response. So childhood coping mechanisms that your mother developed. So many emotionally immature mothers learned that these patterns in their own childhood homes. She may have been ignored. She may have been criticized, abandoned. She may have been abused. We don't know. She may have just been bullied in school terribly. And she learned the only way to survive is to demand attention or deny reality. And it depends on how she emotionally handled the bullying or the abuse or the, you know, perfectionism of her parents or being criticized. And so her inability to apologize or self-reflect isn't just her being stubborn or refusing to do so. It's a hard-wired survival response in her. And you're not going to change it. That's something you really need to realize. She can't do it. Understanding the psychology of this explains the behavior, but it does not excuse the harm. So it explains it, but it doesn't excuse it. So the way that your mother is treating you, regardless of how she was raised, there are many of us that were raised in abusive homes, criticized, beaten, abused, whatever it may be, and we did not end up doing this. It doesn't excuse the behavior, but it does help you understand it. So, and that's my point here, is to help you understand it. When she makes everything about her, it's not because you are uninteresting or unworthy or not enough. It's because her fragile self cannot tolerate being in the background. And that's what you need to understand. And as an adult woman, this is the rewiring that I try to do with a lot of my clients, whether we are doing a coaching session, a hypnotherapy session, or in the inner circle when we're doing deeper dives with group coaching and the entire program, is rewiring the situation where you have felt like you are not enough. And like you weren't valuable or you weren't interesting, you weren't worth it because your mother was always dismissing you and not seeing you. And we are rewiring that for you to understand that this is about her and not you, right? Her behavior will never be about you. It's always about just protecting her ego. And when you see it from that perspective and we can kind of rewire those childhood wounds, this can help you live in a healthier way in your life moving forward. So let's talk about the impact on daughters who deal with mothers this way. When you grow up with a mother who makes everything about her, the damage doesn't stay in childhood. It follows you into adulthood, shaping how you see yourself, your worth, and even your ability to function in everyday life or your ability to have healthy relationships. You may have constant self-doubt. So you may find yourself questioning if you're being selfish for wanting to be understood or acknowledged. You may have a voice, your mother's voice, more most likely living in your head, dismissing your accomplishments. Oh, it wasn't that big of a deal. You know, when you get a big promotion or you graduated from college and you had really good grades and you're like, nah, it wasn't that big of a deal. A lot of people do that or whatever. That's your mother living in your head. That is your own bully, not allowing you to recognize yourself, to love yourself, to value yourself. So when you achieve something meaningful, instead of being proud of yourself, you downplay it or feel guilty for wanting the recognition. You may also doubt your own decisions. So decision paralysis. If you grew up with criticism around every choice, what you were wearing, who you were friends with, what grades you brought home, making decisions as an adult can feel really terrifying. You were taught that whatever you chose was wrong, disappointing, embarrassing, or whatever your mom made your choices be. So one of my clients embodies this very, very strongly, and it's heartbreaking. Her mother berated every decision she ever made, even just a pair of shoes that she wore or a dessert that she brought to a party. So let's talk about that one. So she had severe chronic stomach pain that no one could figure out, and she was always in pain. And she found that eating gluten-free relieved that chronic, extremely severe stomach pain. Well, a normal, healthy mother would just be happy that her daughter was not in pain anymore. But instead of support, her mother ridiculed her, mocking her for being dramatic and being weird. You're just eating weird. You just need to eat like normal people. This is not, you know, making a big deal about her, saying that she's making a big deal about this pain and being weird and all of this. This ridicule left scars. And this is not the only way that she was ridiculed. This is just an example. Clearly, I don't know every situation. But today, she can take 2 hours to decide what pair of boots to buy at a store. And then she'll finally pick a pair that she likes, buy them, drive home, riddled with anxiety and fear that she made the wrong choice. This is a pair of boots, mind you. The next day, she takes them back and returns them because she fears she's made the wrong choice. And the cycle repeats over and over and over again because the voice of her mother's disapproval still echoes in her head. These are the results of what happens when a mother does this. Okay? I will give you another example. She went to a nail salon to get her nails painted. She was there for 3 hours trying to choose what color she wanted. She would choose a color that she liked. They would start painting. They would get 2 or 3 nails painted. She would make them take it off and she would go choose a different color because she was worried she picked the wrong nail color. I am not kidding you. This is how severe it can be when a mother invalidates your decisions over and over and over again. And this is not just indecisiveness. This is the trauma of being conditioned to believe that every choice you made was wrong. And this is what we are rewiring when we're dealing with hypnotherapy and coaching sessions and all of this with my clients, is we are working on these issues that they have. And these are not the only ones. You may struggle to say no, because saying no becomes a minefield. And there are women, they're in many situations that struggle to say no to things that they don't want, things they don't want to do, things that they just don't want, places they don't want to go, whatever it is. But you may feel the need to over-explain, give a lot of reasons why you're not doing this, almost as though you're preparing a legal defense for why you're allowed to decline something. You brace yourself for the guilt trips before you even give your answer. Deep down, you still fear that that no makes you ungrateful or selfish or whatever it was that your mom did, or you're bracing for those guilt trips, whatever your mom did to you, because she didn't value you enough to value your no. If you don't want to do something, that's reason enough. Just the fact that you don't want to. But that was never okay when you were younger. And so you struggle to value your own feelings and your own desires. That's not okay. Next one is identity confusion. And this isn't probably what you think I'm going to say, but when her needs always came first, you never learned how to prioritize your own. Your identity was built upon pleasing her, anticipating her moods, and molding yourself into what she wanted. Now, I have seen women who were cheerleaders, even though they didn't want to be a cheerleader because it's what their mother wanted them to be, and she pressured them into doing it. Prime example. Your identity is not a cheerleader. That's not the kind of person you are. It's not what you want, but you're doing things to please her. And now you may struggle with the simplest question of, what do you really want? What do you really like? You may not even think about what you want. You just do whatever she wants you to do to avoid the drama. And this just erases you. And there is a time of healing that needs to happen to where you are then able to embody who you are, what you like, what you want, being able to say no, going and doing the things that you desire and things that you want without her voice in your head. Even like we were talking about earlier, you know, if you want to live with your boyfriend, or, you know, you want to do something, a career or whatever that might be, and that's within your own moral belief system, but maybe not hers, being able to decide to do something like that and say, I'm sorry, but this is how I feel and what I want to do with my life. And it's not about her, you know, that can be really difficult, disentangling yourself from those things. Then you can move into emotional exhaustion. Every interaction leaves you drained. And I have felt this so many times, because it's like you're walking on eggshells, scanning her tone, her body language, facial expressions for warning signs of the next guilt trip, disapproval, belittling, or even for some of you, an emotional explosion, because your mom is very emotionally volatile. Over time, this constant hypervigilance burns you out emotionally, mentally, and even physically. And I've experienced this. Mostly I feel emotionally drained because, like, my mother needs constant validation and constant, like, attention on her needs. Like, someone, you know, if her sister wasn't nice to her, something happens, I have no problem with someone needing to talk about something. But when it's just a chronic, constant me, 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 I need you to give me validation, I need you to give me admiration, I need you to tell me how great I am, I need you to fix my problems for me, and that's the entire foundation of the relationship with your mom, it is exhausting. Because you are constantly giving, and eventually you're giving from an empty cup because she doesn't give back. And then we look at the trauma bond cycle. So to avoid maybe her anger or criticism or withdrawal, giving you the cold shoulder, ignoring you, you shrink yourself. You abandon your needs, you silence your truth, and give in to just keep the peace. It feels safer to erase yourself than to risk her wrath. And this cycle reinforces her power and your pain. And this isn't just a difficult parent. It's emotional invalidation on repeat, to the point that it rewires your brain and nervous system and the way that you show up in your own life. The cost isn't just in a strained family relationship or a strained relationship with your mom. It's in your very sense of self and the way that you show up in the world, the way you show up in relationships, and what you believe about yourself. That is why this is so damaging. And a lot of times it's unseen, because these are not bruises. We can see bruises and broken bones, but we can't see the emotional damage of living with an emotionally immature mom who sucks you dry and never gives back. But there is damage, and it can take an extreme toll on you. So the last thing I want to talk about is how to respond without losing yourself. When your mother constantly makes everything about her, the instinct might be to call her out, to try to explain yourself more, to demand that she listen to you. But the truth is, doing this is just going to escalate into gaslighting, defensiveness, and more emotional harm. The key is to protect your energy without losing yourself in her self-centered patterns. If she zones out or interrupts you, you can just say, you know what, I can tell you're busy, I'll call you later. So if your mom is zoning out, if her responses do not match what you're talking about, I can tell you're busy, I'll call you later. Hang up immediately. Do not let her spiral into her narcissistic crap. Just be very firm and hang up. Don't wait for her to re-engage. Protect your dignity by immediately removing yourself. Avoid calling out disrespect directly. I know this is really hard, but it's never going to go anywhere. So if your mom, like, let's say if you're like, Mom, you're not listening to me. right? If you start calling out what she's doing, you're not listening, or you stop and wait. She'll fire back. I was listening. Why do you always accuse me of things? And then spirals into gaslighting, and it's going to spiral into an argument. It's going to spiral into her becoming the victim, all of it. It's best to just quickly end the conversation. I can tell you're busy. I'll call you later. That's it. Very simple. Keep conversations surface level responses only. So if she asks about your vacation, so for example, the Redwoods that we were talking about earlier. Oh, we had a great time. The Redwoods were beautiful. And very simple. That's all she has the attention span for, and she doesn't really care anyway. So just give her the quick little one or two sentences, and that's it. Two sentences max. Short, simple, and impossible to hijack. That's what we're looking for. If she wants to ask another question, let her ask a question and do the same thing. One or two sentences. And then just stick to that pattern. And eventually she'll lose interest and she'll move on to her own stuff. But in this way, you're not feeling invalidated. You are keeping control of the conversation here. Do you see how that works? Because it's like she can't interrupt or hijack. Because if I say, hey, we had a great time, the Redwoods were beautiful, and she changes the subject, I'm not mid-sentence. I'm not trying to tell her all these things and she's invalidating me. It's very simple. And you always have to answer within her listening limit. I know what my mom's listening limit is. I answer in that way, and that's all I do. Don't ever go into full story mode with an emotionally immature mom. It will set you up for interruption, dismissal, or her stories overshadowing yours. And I wouldn't make it, don't tell her like maybe you had some amazing thing happen on that trip. I wouldn't share that. And I know that sounds difficult, but she may try to overshadow it, dismiss it, belittle it. You don't need that. So just keep it short, simple. You can say it was a great vacation, but I wouldn't go into too much detail. And then if she's triangulating or trying to get the flying monkeys because you're not coming to a family event or something like that, if she's guilt tripping you or whatever. So let's start with this. If your mom's guilt tripping you about not coming to something, that's my decision and I'm not going to discuss it any further. That's all you need to say. And then walk away, hang up, change the subject, whatever you got to do, but do not let her re-engage guilt trip. And if she starts to guilt trip, I'm sorry, I need to go. Do not engage with that. If it's someone, a flying monkey that she's sent to guilt trip you, so she's got, you have a brother or a sister or a grandma or somebody that she uses as a flying monkey, she'll call them, she's not coming, she's so terrible and she's so mean. And then they call you and why aren't you coming? And mom feels, you're making mom sad or you're making your mother sad. This is my decision and I will not be discussing it with you. That's all you need to say. Okay? Do not engage with any of them. Your mother if she guilt trips or the flying monkeys. Okay? And I want to give you a couple of tools before we end to stay grounded. This can be really helpful if you get emotionally dysregulated after handling your mom or flying monkeys or anything else. Her comments may still trigger guilt, shame, anger, or any number of emotions. That's just normal. It's okay. I want you to use these somatic tools to bring yourself back. So box breathing is one of them to just calm yourself down, calm your nervous system down. And this is not the only breathing technique. There are many. If holding your breath is an issue for you or a trauma trigger for you, don't do this one. But box breathing is that you inhale for four, hold for four, exhale for four, hold for four. So it's four, 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 all the way around. Inhale, hold it for four, exhale, four, hold for four. That will regulate you. There are other ways to do it if you can't hold your breath. You can look those up online, but this is just a really basic, really simple one. Grounding. So plant your feet. It doesn't have to be outside. We're not doing that kind of grounding, which that's great too, but you just plant your feet directly on the floor of where you are. I want you to just, your bare feet, wherever it is, you take your shoes off at work, whatever you got to do. You may not be able to if you have to run around at work, but if you can sit down, plant your feet on the floor. And I want you to feel that carpet or that hard surface beneath your feet. I want you to feel it. I want you to really ground into that and recognize where you are in this moment. And then I want you to notice three things that you can see around the room. So I'm going to do this right now just as an example so that I can show you. So my feet are planted firmly on the floor. Luckily, this chair is low enough that I can do that. And I can feel this really fluffy carpet under my feet. And then I'm going to take a deep breath and I'm going to look around. I'm going to see three things that I can see. So I have a plant on my desk. I can see the plant. And I've got an iced tea next to me, iced sweet tea next to me. I can see that can, and I can see my cell phone. So those are three things that I can see. And then I take a deep breath, and then I'm going to, two things I can touch. So I actually have a blanket on my chair that I wrap around me when it's cold. Really, really soft blanket, so I can touch that soft blanket. And I can touch, I am sitting in an office chair, and it has a texture to the fabric on the chair. So I can just touch that textured fabric on the chair. And then I'm going to tell you one thing that I can hear. I can hear the humming of the computer. That is how you ground into this moment. And when you ground yourself, your feet are on the floor, you've done the three things you can see, two things you can touch, and one thing you can hear. And there are, you can use different senses. These are the easiest ones that I've found. And then you say, I am safe. I am in the present moment. I am here. I am safe. However you need to say that to calm yourself down. There's another one that you can do, probably not in public, but this is a great way to release emotional tension, anxiety, a lot of emotional energy, is to kind of bounce up and down and just let your arms shake. Just shake your whole body out. Shake your head side to side. It looks funny. If you're at work and you're feeling really dysregulated, go in the bathroom and do this in the stall. Seriously, it releases a lot of that anxiety, that nervous energy. And then place a hand over your heart and one on your belly and just breathe slowly. And just breathe into the present moment. Okay? Those are just a couple things that you can do to regulate yourself after having a conversation with your mom or anything that might have been difficult. And the other thing that I want to talk about, and of course I talk about this because I'm a hypnotherapist and this is what I do. And I do this very often. I've done it for a variety of things. I've even done it to turn down chronic pain, and it works phenomenally well. I've had a client who can get to a level 9 of pain. He usually lives at a level 4 pain, but it'll spike to a level 9 and he'll say, I need a session, and we will get on and we'll do a session and we can turn it back down sometimes to a 5, back that pain off. So we use this for a lot of different reasons, but hypnotherapy is a subconscious kind of rewiring, reprogramming, and it's not something that I install in you. This is something that your subconscious mind is just guided to do for yourself. Breaking old conditioning that taught you that her emotions come first. Breaking those, you know, inability to make decisions, the self-doubt, separating her voice from your own. All of that. Learning new truths, that your choices are valid, that protecting your peace is not selfish. And that you're allowed to prioritize yourself. And we relearn and rewire these things. When you find yourself internalizing her words, I want you to pause and reframe it. So if she has questioned a choice that you've made in your life, I want you to validate yourself. My decision is valid, even if she doesn't approve. And I want you to tell yourself that because it's true. If she has guilt-tripped you about something, I'm protecting my well-being, and that's an act of self-love. I'm allowed to protect myself, however you want to frame that. If she's been belittling you, I'm not selfish for skipping the family party. If she told you you're selfish, say that. I'm allowed to respect myself. I'm allowed to respect my boundaries. I am allowed to choose whatever. You know, you can reframe that however you want. Her behavior reflects her limits, not your worth. And the other thing that I want to point out here is that you need to have relationships where you are truly seen and loved, because this is going to save your sanity. And this can be your partner, of course, can do this for you. Definitely you need a healthy relationship with a partner that can be supportive and understanding. But cultivate friendships or a support system of friends or a community that you are a part of. If you're struggling to find that, I do have the Daughters Rising Inner Circle, which is a space where we have a group of women. You're part of a sister circle within there of women who are going through the same thing that you are, at least with your mother. And this is where your story can be heard and not hijacked. It is waitlist only right now. I don't have any spots available, but it will be opening up soon. So if you want to get on the waitlist, that's on the website, motherwoundproject.com. So go to the motherwoundproject.com and you can join the waitlist for that. And journaling, breath work, self-trust, rituals, whatever it is that resonates with you that you need to do to recenter yourself and prioritize yourself again. Because you deserve relationships where your voice matters and where you matter. And I want to say the last point here, that when she makes everything about her, is the clearest sign of emotional immaturity. And it's not proof that you are selfish, that because you're wanting to be heard or you're wanting to be seen or understood. And that is one of the things we get confused with, is thinking that we're the one that's selfish, when in reality, it's actually her. So if you are kind of looking for a way to start this healing journey, you're kind of recognizing, oh my word, this is exactly what I've been experiencing. You can start with the Mother Wound Archetype Quiz. It's free. There's a link right at the top of my website that you can go to and take that quiz. And there is actually a little ebook that kind of starts you on this journey. And that's all free. There's also the Mother Wound Healing Starter Kit that you can get. It's only $17 right now. It is on an introductory price and it is phenomenal for helping you start this journey. You can also get on the Daughters Rising Inner Circle waitlist, which is a lot more in depth. It's a very long kind of program that I've designed. And then we can also do a hypnotherapy or a coaching session if that's something that you need to kind of help start navigating your relationship with your mom. And I am here in any one of these ways, providing resources for women who are going through this to feel like they are seen, they are heard, they have support, and they can start moving through this healing journey, because your story deserves to be heard without being hijacked. You're not selfish for wanting space, and you can be sovereign and claim it.